VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. We're going to be having a news roundup day today on the broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, our country's in a mess. It's in a big spiritual mess. We see all the outcomes of many issues taking place across the nation. It boils down to a spiritual issue. And certainly people's hearts have been turned away from God and the need of the hours for people to come know Jesus Christ as Savior. As one comes to know him, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As we are instructed, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And certainly all the things that we're seeing today evidenced through the rioting, through the violence, through the killings that are taking place is indicative of a nation, of a people that need the Savior, and how critically important it is for the church to be the church, for individuals to share the good news of the gospel, and recognizing that the battle that we are in today is not one that is against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual battle. And with that, we use spiritual weapons. We use prayer. We use the Word of God. Certainly, we are called upon to be salt and light in this world. And certainly, as we go through some of these stories today, it's going to be very indicative of how badly that role is needed in such a time as this. Are you praying for the nation? Are you praying for our nation's leaders, the president, the members of Congress? Are you praying for your local officials as well? Are you praying for your local police as so many issues are unfolding before us? Let's delve into a number of stories here today on Crosstalk. Hundreds of mourners, including the Reverend Al Sharpton, reports FoxNews.com, and the mother of Eric Garner, filed into a private memorial service in Minneapolis yesterday afternoon to honor George Floyd, the man whose death in police custody sparked the nationwide protest against police brutality and racial injustice. The ceremony began with attorney Benjamin Crump calling some of Floyd's family members to the front of the room to deliver remarks. Well, then he introduced the Sharpton to deliver the eulogy. And Sharpton said this: George Floyd should not be among the deceased. He did not die of common health conditions. He died of a common American criminal justice malfunction. Sharpton took aim at the criminal justice system's effects on African Americans and took several swipes at President Trump. Yes, folks, in this funeral, swiping at President Trump, first for his controversial move to pose with a Bible near the White House over the weekend, and then for questioning former President Obama's birthplace. And he said this: and you ask him for his birth certificate because you can't take your knee off our neck, he said. We don't want no favors, just get off of us, and we can be and do whatever we can be. Well, the sanctuary normally seats 1,000, but because of the coronavirus, the capacity reduced to about 500. Jesse Jackson there, members of Congress like Ilhan Omar, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Congresswoman Presley. There's Senators Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris. There were actors, comedians, Minnesota governor, Minneapolis mayor attending this as well. A number of stories relate to this issue across the nation as frontpagemag.com reports that New York released over 2,650 criminals from prisons to protect them from the pandemic. 2,650 plus criminals released from prison because of the pandemic. They didn't stay home or wash their hands. They went back to their old jobs, and 100 of them accounted for 190 arrests for crimes like burglary and robbery. A rapist was released, and he went back to raping. One of the freed criminals was responsible for 18 burglaries at closed eateries, and when he was arrested, the end of bail meant that he was set loose. The looting was going on long before the riots. Now, as the rioters and looters rule the streets of Manhattan, when the police manage to arrest them, they have to quickly let them go. When it comes to a burglary, a commercial store which is looting, they're back out, Chief Terrence Monahan said. Because of bail reform, you're back out on the street the next day. You cannot be held on any sort of bail. Folks, when are we going to wise up to what's going on here? Of the 650 arrested, almost all will be released back on the street to riot and loot again. Los Angeles County released about 5,000 criminals, accounting for around a third of imprisoned criminals, and with no bail, arrested criminals were set loose and then arrested again. In the first 30 days of the experiment, 213 criminals were rearrested again after being put back on the street. Sacramento County's jail population fell 30%. Orange County's prison numbers dropped by 45%. Detroit's population dropped by 40%. Philadelphia by 17%. Denver by 41%. Massachusetts freed 1,000 criminals, while Illinois freed about 4,000. Dallas released 1,000 criminals. And Hennepin County, the home of the riots that went to sweep major cities, reduced its prison population by 44%. What impact did the hundreds of released criminals have on kickstarting the riots? It's no coincidence that some of the areas hardest hit by the rioting and the looting had also opened up their prisons to protect inmates from contracting the coronavirus. From Minneapolis Star Tribune, Attorney General Keith Ellison's office Wednesday upgraded the charges against the former officer who knelt on Floyd's neck. Charged the other three officers at the scene with aiding and abetting murder. All three booked in the Hennepin County Jail on Wednesday. Chauvin, who was recorded on video kneeling on Floyd's neck as he begged for air Memorial Day, now faces a more serious charge of second-degree murder in addition to the original charges of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter with culpable negligence. Also from OneNewsNow.com, the judge set bail at $750,000 apiece Thursday for three fired Minneapolis police officers charged with aiding and abetting in the killing of George Floyd as a memorial service took place just blocks away. Three protesters tracked officers to their homes, threw Molotov cocktails at a police cars, reports WSB TV, and indicating police said someone called 911 to report a Gwinnett County Police Department car on fire in Duluth sometime between 10 p.m. and midnight. Fire was extinguished by the time police arrived. Later, another 911 caller reported that someone tried to set a police car on fire in Lawrenceville, and a dark-colored car fled the scene. Channel 2 Action News coincidentally spoke to one of the suspects during the protest and saying, "I'm just trying to get the message across." Chief Mora said during the protest outside Sugarloaf Mills Mall, "We're going to continue walking until we don't feel like walking no more." And the response in Minneapolis, well, here we have, according to AlphaNewsMinnesota.com, that several members of the Minneapolis City Council want to disband their city's police force and are investigating how this goal might be realized. "Several of us on the council are working on finding out what it would take to disband the MPD," says Steve Fletcher, a member of the 13-person assembly that serves as the legislative branch of Minneapolis government. Fletcher suggests that if the council is successful in abolishing the police, a new unarmed, listen to that, folks, a new unarmed public safety group would take its place. He says the council wants to totally reimagine what public safety means. "We can invest in cultural competency and mental health training." Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison's son, Jeremiah Ellison, declared his allegiance to Antifa May 31st after President Trump announced that the far-left group will be designated as a terror organization. Isn't that something? The way we're going to deal with this is to disarm the police department and reimagine a new security force without weaponry. WND.com reporting a far-left member of Congress known for her foul-mouthed threats is calling for the defunding of police. We're talking about Rashida Tlaib, writing on Twitter, "I just want us to dig deeper so that the defund police movement isn't brushed aside." She charged that decades of structural racism has left police officer after police officer off the hook for murder. And when you look at the platform, so to speak, from Black Lives Matter's website, yeah, they have the stipulation there to defund the police, reading directly from it, saying, quote, "We call for a national defunding of police. We demand investment in our communities and the resources to ensure black people not only survive, but thrive. If you're not with us, if you're with us, add your name to the petition below," which they have. Well, Nancy Pelosi was asked to denounce this, and she refused to do so. Asked what she thought of it, she said, "Well, let's wait to see what Democrats release next week." And Chuck Schumer, a proud of the protest in New York, where riots and looting have led to a curfew. From the Minneapolis Common Council president, yes, we're going to dismantle Minneapolis Police Department, replace it with a transformative new model of public safety, he tweeted out. Looking also at Black Lives Matter website, they have this segment, and matter of fact, they wrote this shortly after the State of the Union address, saying, "We deserve and thus we demand clean water, safe schools and communities conducive to life. We deserve and thus we demand policies that recognize we exist as both individuals who need opportunities and members of beloved communities who need reparations. We deserve and thus we demand reproductive justice that gives us autonomy over our bodies and our identities while ensuring that our children and families are supported, safe, and able to thrive. We deserve and thus we demand participatory democracy that encompasses political, economic, cultural, spiritual, and sexual self-determination." From CNSNews.com, Attorney General Bill Barr announced Thursday that the Justice Department has evidence that Antifa and similar extremist groups instigated violent activity among those protesting Floyd's death during the police arrest in Minnesota last month. The Attorney General said that the DOJ is working with local police, National Guard, and other agencies like the FBI, the ATF, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Bureau of Prisons, and the U.S. Marshals Service. FoxNews.com reporting New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio drowned out by booing at a memorial for George Floyd in Brooklyn on Thursday as the preacher who introduced him pleaded with attendees to show respect. But loud booing broke out as the mayor took the stage. De Blasio also received boos as he arrived at the memorial with crowds shouting, "De Blasio, go home," as he walked across the stage. Later, as he tried to address the crowd, his words were barely audible over the crowds chanting, "Resign." At another point, the crowd chanted, "Turn your back," and many turned around as to not face the mayor. On Tuesday, Governor Cuomo called the mayor's handling of riots a disgrace and said he has the power to displace de Blasio, though he won't at this time. Also from CNSNews.com, in a statement to the fellow police sergeants, Ed Mullins, the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, said he was aware of what was occurring in the city, that there is no leadership, no direction, and no plan because of higher-level politics that seems incapable of addressing the riots. However, Mullins has encouraged his fellow officers to stand shoulder to shoulder and do not give up. The Sergeants Benevolent Association is the second-largest police union in New York City, saying, "I'm being inundated with calls, text messages, and emails pleading for help," Mullins wrote in a statement. "I know we're losing the city. We have no leadership, no direction, and no plan. I know you're being held back and used as pawns. I understand. I'm one of you. I'm doing and I will continue to do everything I can do to protect you and the people of this city." One of the two Brooklyn lawyers accused trying to torch the NYPD cruiser in Brooklyn used a Bud Light bottle stuffed with a rag as a Molotov cocktail, according to a photo obtained Sunday by the Daily News. It's Suraj Rahman snapped a picture holding a black and white striped scarf. Isn't that the Palestinian scarf? Close to her face and one hand on the potentially fiery bottle with another as she prepared to toss it out of the passenger side of the vehicle. Both Rahman and Collinford Mattis, a corporate lawyer and member of Community Board 5 in East New York, charged with the attempted attack Saturday night on an empty police cruiser parked outside 88th Precinct Station House in Fort Greene. Yeah, high-level attorneys getting involved with the protest and destruction. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to a news roundup on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And friends, I've not even scratched the surface yet with the volume of materials that Sandy provided for us here today. We're going to share more information with you, though, to help you understand the times in which we live. And again, I underscore, this is a spiritual issue. This all stems down to sin. It stems down to rebellion against God. And look what happens when man does that which is right in his own eyes. It is chaos. It is mayhem. It is killing all across this nation. The answer is Jesus Christ, and we need to make him known even in such dark times as which we live. We were talking about the high-level attorneys that were involved in these Molotov cocktails. Well, the Washington, or make that townhall.com, suggesting here, quoting from the Washington Free Beacon, reported that a former Obama administration official in both the State and Defense Departments has guaranteed the bail of Uraj Rahman, one of the two New York City attorneys that's accused in this failed attack on a police cruiser parked outside the 88th Precinct in Fort Greene. Western Journal reporting that a retired St. Louis police captain reportedly shot and killed outside a looted pawn shop Monday night. Police found 77-year-old David Dorn outside of Lee's Pawn and Jewelry Store around 2:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, KMOV reported. He was trying to stop the looting at the pawn shop. Also from Western Journal, those left in the wake of the violence perpetrated by rioters who claimed to be protesting the death of George Floyd are left visibly shaken by their experiences. And St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department Chief John Hayden is among those that is heartbroken by tragedies that are suffered as a result of the riots. Let's listen in to what he had to say.
They're just standing there. So some coward fired shots at officers, and now we have four in the hospital. But thankfully, and thank God, they're alive. They're alive. But can we make some sense out of this? Can we make some sense out of this? That's all I'm trying to say. Mr. Floyd's death is tragic, but can we make some out of something that these kids come down here and just start like crazy, jumping up and down like they're enthused by the jumping, high-fiving each other, flourishing pistols. As we speak, we're trying to get control of the city. As we speak, still hearing gunfire and everything. And so, you all might have some questions, but I don't know what else to say. This is horrible.
St. Louis police chief moved to tears as a result of what's happening in his city. And we see, though, under the guise of Black Lives Matter, that the black businesses totally destroyed. Here is a comment one individual made as it relates to Black Lives Matter.
The problem that bothers me, you says Black Lives Matter. I've worked here part-time. Plus, I'm a part owner of this store. You said Black Lives Matter. Why don't you choke me? I'm black.
Tell him, sister.
Look what you did to my store.
Tell him, sister.
Look what you did to my store.
Tell him, sister. That's my, because I got they back. These are my dudes right here. Good
men. Look at the things you've done.
Good men.
Look.
The Black Lives Matter.
We've been here all night cleaning up. All night cleaning.
And you got black people standing right here with them. Black
people.
Tell
me.
That's right.
Black Lives Matter. You lied. You wanted to loot the store. You needed money. Get a job like I do. Stop stealing. This is the neighborhood. We're trying to build it up, and you tearing it down.
Another African-American woman in Minneapolis gave a heart-wrenching account of how rioters have completely destroyed her life.
I've been hearing your frustrations, and I would love for you to share them with the community right now, because you and so many others are going through such a rough time. How was last night?
Scary. I live in the high rise right back here, and I seen them as they came down Lake Street. But then they turned and started coming over here, and I'm sitting out looking in out my window. And they went straight to Office Max, the dollar store, and every store over here that I go to. I have nowhere to go now.
I have no way to get there because the buses aren't running. These people did this for no reason. It's not going to bring George back here. George is in a better place than we are. Last night, I'm going to be honest, I wish I was where George was, because this is ridiculous. These people are tearing up our livelihood. This is the only place I could go to shop. And now I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere to get there.
Lives wrecked. Wrecked. Torn apart in Minneapolis through these riots, through the mayhem that's been going on there. And then we have the likes of Ilhan Omar saying, no, it is people that are being terrorized by the National Guard.
I think last night ABC the community News. Did feel safe to know that there will not be a burning of their businesses and their homes. We were obviously worried and feeling terrorized about that prospect. But there really was also many people who chose to demonstrate and not abide by the curfew, who felt like they also were terrorized by the presence of tanks, by the presence of the National Guard, and a militarized police.
Okay, so the people that are there breaking the curfew, she says that we're terrorized by the National Guard and the military equipment that was there. By the way, that was an ABC News clip. The previous one was from KTSP, as that a woman from Minneapolis detailed how rioters have completely destroyed her. Moving on here. Last Saturday, Richmond Police Chief Will Smith, overcome with emotion, detailing one of the worst acts of violence carried out in his city during the previous night of rioting, reported Pamela Geller. This one incident that is particularly poignant, that illustrates the seriousness of the issues we're facing. Protesters intentionally set a fire to an occupied building on West Broad Street. Not only the occupied building that has been set fire to the last 2 days, but prohibit us from getting to the scene. The police chief said we had to force our way to make a clear path for the fire department. Protesters intercepted that fire apparatus several blocks away with vehicles and blocked the fire department's access to the structure fire. He said inside that home was a child. Officers were able to. And he continued on, he was overcome with emotion, but he said they were able to help those people out of the house, were able to get the fire department there safely. So they set fire, then put vehicles in the pathway to stop the fire apparatus, the fire trucks, from getting to the fire in a home in which there was a child. Folks, we've got issues here in this nation. And we see the heart of man. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we're seeing that exhibited time and time again. We take a look here at abajournal.com. Two federal protective officers shot outside the federal courthouse in Oakland, California, Friday night. Only one survived in critical condition. And it's going on. It's being replicated in cities. Courthouses are being targeted. Courts in other states sustained damage. Windows smashed. Fires started in the historic Metro Nashville, Tennessee courthouse Saturday night. In Texas, a courthouse in South Fort Worth set on fire early Monday. Birmingham, Alabama, windows at the Jefferson County Courthouse broken, and a Thomas Jefferson statue outside the courthouse was damaged. In Indiana, the doors to the courthouse at Tippecanoe Library were destroyed. Window broken, graffiti painted. Wake County, North Carolina, courthouse and justice center damaged in protest. In Michigan, the Kent County courthouse was damaged, according to WZZM Channel 13. Some feel as though the Black Lives Matter movement is helping the African-American community, but as you heard, the black business owner said, instead, it is tearing us down. And these are spreading in cities across the nation. We're going to go right now to the state of Florida. As we had a press conference was held there, and you have Sheriff Grady Judge. I've got two clips here, and I've for purposes, I've put them together here so you can hear what he had to say in regard to the protests, but then also his instructions to the people of the community to arm themselves. Here's what he had to say, Sheriff Grady Judd.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was here as a support to the chief. Our deputies were here as supports to the chief. Clearly and unequivocally, as a law enforcement community, we want to say first and foremost that the death of George in Minneapolis at the hands of that police officer was outrageous. Had that police officer done here what he did there, he would have been locked up in the county jail by sundown. But Minneapolis is not Polk County. Atlanta's not Polk County. Los Angeles is not Polk County. And I want to say unequivocally that the community here has been absolutely, totally wonderful. The protest at Munn Park is a good thing. People have the right to express themselves. And we expect them to do that in a peaceful manner. But please understand, let there be no misunderstanding at all, that if you come here to riot, to loot, to injure people, we're going to lock you up in the county jail before quick. And it's not one agency or the other, but it's all of us working together. Now, I want to show you the picture that I brought today. This is an organized rioter. This person did not come to Lakeland yesterday to exercise his First Amendment rights. If you notice and pay close attention, this guy has a professional mask on, professional clothes that are clearly designed to seal out pepper spray or any chemical agents. This person was here to create problems. Our local police officers and deputies said, we noticed cars with out-of-county and out-of-state plates. We saw that the antagonists that were at Florida and the Boulevard, the ones that were generating the energy, were not our local folks. They came here to do nothing but create problems. Well, the difference is we're not going to accept that in this community. We've also received information on social media. Now, first and foremost, I don't accept or on face value anything in social media. But we have received information in social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them, if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns, and they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. So leave the community alone.
Polk County, Florida, Sheriff Grady Judge. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
There is no heartache equal to that of losing a loved one to suicide. Unanswered questions, despair, and perhaps self-blame can leave those behind with feelings of hopelessness. But true hope and help can be found in Christ alone. In the booklet Hope Beyond Despair, author Julie Gossick shares from personal experience how the truth of Scripture and the hope of the gospel can bring comfort to those who are living in the aftermath of suicide. She addresses what the Bible has to say on this issue and provides a lasting hope based on biblical principles. The book Hope Beyond Despair is available from VCY for a donation of $6 or 3 copies for a donation of $15. Just ask for Hope Beyond Despair when you call with your gift at 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, News Roundup Day. Friends, have only gotten through less than a third of the material here in the studio today. There is so much taking place across the nation, but certainly to be representative of some of the matters that are going on as the senseless acts of violence are taking place here across this nation. Many are hijacking even the death of George Floyd in committing these acts of perpetration. I mean, when we think about the loads of bricks that are mysteriously appearing in places where these violent protests, you go into some places and they've got baseball bats in hidden places for mayhem and other objects to be hurled at officers, suddenly just, you know, mysteriously appearing to be used. Well, we see the defacing of the Lincoln Memorial. Think about it, folks. As he delivered the Emancipation Proclamation, this president, his memorial defaced. This is the very steps where Martin Luther King Jr. delivered the famous I Have a Dream speech. And yet, rioters chose this place to deface. Also, and again, it is just using whatever means to accomplish their end. We also have from frontpagemag.com, the Robert Gould Shaw, the 54th Regiment Memorial, one of 16 public artworks damaged when thousands of protesters swarmed Boston Common on Sunday night. This was a $3 million restoration project for the sculpture. Guess what? It was dedicated to the African-American soldiers who fought in the Civil War and was just granted clearance just last week. The outbreak of the coronavirus had delayed the project, and yet this glory memorial to black Civil War soldiers was vandalized. Troubling story from WesternJournal.com. An American archaeologist and Egyptologist tweeted out information on how people can safely, and I put that in quotes as the story did from Western Journal, how they can safely destroy monuments as rioters defaced and destroyed monuments in Washington, D.C. and across the nation. Sarah Parsekak, a professor of University of Alabama at Birmingham, shared detailed instructions on how to remove obelisks and even included a diagram, giving the details, how to pull down these obelisks and these monuments. Rioters in Philadelphia, blowing up ATMs, stealing money in overnight heists. That's the story from the Daily Wire. Time doesn't give us opportunity to get into the story. Western Journal also reporting looters targeted the office of a Democratic congressman in Philadelphia Monday. The representative announced on Twitter, Representative Brendan Boyle, posted Monday evening that one of his district offices was targeted during another night of unrest. He had notified police. But he shared another statement a few minutes later in an apparent attempt to make light of the situation. He encouraged those looting to take voter registration forms with them when they left. If those who are currently breaking into and looting my office really want our voter registration forms because they're in such high demand, then I would totally be cool with that, he said. He represents Pennsylvania's 2nd Congressional District, including portions of Philadelphia. On this issue of voting in Pennsylvania, the Daily Signal reporting, if it weren't enough, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf unilaterally amended the state's election laws hours before primary voters arrived at the polls Tuesday. Late Monday evening, Wolf issued an executive order extending the mail-in ballot return deadline in 6 of Pennsylvania's 27 counties by an entire week, adding to the list of unexpected changes that have occurred leading up to Pennsylvania's primary. Voters in Allegheny, Dauphin, Delaware, Erie, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties had until 8 p.m. on June 9th to return their mail-in ballots so long as they were postmarked by June 2nd. In the remaining 61 counties, voters were still required to return their ballots to their county election office by the close of the polls yesterday on Tuesday. Wolf claimed that extending the ballot return deadline in those 6 counties was necessary because of the dramatic increase in mail voting application requests due to COVID-19 pandemic and the recent civil unrest and rioting occurring in cities across Pennsylvania. Coronavirus used for much, but New York City Health Committee Chair said if there is a spike in coronavirus cases, don't blame protesters. You blame racism. Blame the police. Troubling story from LifeSiteNews.com. A university professor urging families in lockdown to mix assisted suicide drugs for relatives that are wanting to die. That's right. An American university professor focusing on assisted suicide research is encouraging family members to mix life-ending cocktails for relatives who wish to die as coronavirus lockdown restrictions have made visits from assisted suicide staff more difficult to arrange. Anita Hanning, associate professor of anthropology at Brandeis University, it's a Jewish private research university in Massachusetts, says in a June 2nd article titled Dying Virtually, Pandemic Drives Medically Assisted Deaths Online, and that family members of people wishing to end their lives by assisted suicide must now take a more active role in their loved one's final act. Without a volunteer or physician present, families must assume a more active role in the dying process, she said. She explains that in states where assisted suicide is legal, this law does not require that either a physician or other medical workers are present, but only that two doctors independently evaluate a patient's request for medical assistance in dying, and the individuals are able to ingest lethal doses themselves. It's made it possible for doctors to approve requests for assisted suicide online during the coronavirus crisis. Now, because of the coronavirus, volunteers are accompanying patients and families over Zoom, and physicians complete their evaluations through telemedicine based on recommendations released by the American Clinicians Academy on Medical Aid in Dying in March of 2020, Hanning said. Assisted suicide groups in the U.S. have been promoting online physician consultations and approval for assisted suicide for months during the coronavirus crisis. I have to travel over to the U.K. here. A story that came out from Christian.org. LGBT activists have branded concerned parents as small-minded bigots after Warwickshire County Council withdrew misleading guidance on transgenderism. Issued in 2018 to 300 schools, the Trans Inclusion Toolkit for Schools advised schools to allow transgender pupils to use the toilets, changing rooms, and dormitories of their choice. But the council dropped the guidance in April following a legal threat from the Christian Institute. The council said its decision was taken in line with governmental guidance. But Warwickshire Pride released a statement branding worried parents as bigots and claimed their concerns are rooted in transphobia. Folks, this is where the LGBT movement, what they think of parents with moral values, nothing more than bigots. Daniel Brown, chairman of the organization, said the trustees chose their words deliberately when formulating a statement saying, "We want to educate people, but a bigot is a bigot." He also accused anyone who does not actively affirm young people in their transgender identity as putting them at risk of suicide. Friends, I've got so much more news to share, but I will share it in between your calls. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number today to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Oh, AOC, yeah, she's at it. She said the protesters, this is from WND.com, protesters who are rioting, burning buildings, smashing storefronts, looting, should wear nondescript, solid-colored, layered clothing and cover-identifying tattoos, she advises. She took to Instagram with tips for protesting safely. She said they should be equipped with goggles and masks, emergency contacts, and heat-resistant gloves. Also list items not to bring, including cell phones that have face and touch ID, unless those have been disabled. Also recommends that any cell phone that's been brought should be placed in airplane mode and have its data usage disabled. She's accused Christians of weaponizing the Bible to support bigotry and warned the world has only 12 years left because of global warming. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Holly in Hillsboro. You're on the air.
I was just going to comment on the assisted suicide thing, and it's so heartbreaking to hear that the people that took an oath to first do no harm are going to go alongside of this and do just that with such misinformation. And it reminds me of what it says in the Bible when he says, "He who hates me loves death." And these people, I mean, we just see in the masses the death that they're promoting, and they're turning us against each other to accomplish it.
Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking.
Indeed. Thank you for the call. The president really being taken to task, too, for going over to St. John's Church with the Bible, and so much media just saying that the president, that they used tear gas to disperse the crowds, and media outlet after media outlet talking about the use of tear gas. I mean, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC, ABC News, and others. I've heard it on the news today, various sources. And then you have also the likes of Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden also chiming in. But if they check with the park police, they indicated the park police totally denies that tear gas was utilized before those crowds. But they are finding baseball bats, poles that are hidden along the street near the White House, even reports of a pipe bomb. Tom is calling from Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air.
Yes, I suspect I'm not the only one who feels this way. But you talk about how many items you have to cover. I really wish that if the week's news is so newsworthy that you could either bypass the phone calls altogether or confine them to the last 10 minutes of the program. I'd like to hear what else you have in that pile of material.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom. Matter of fact, I did leave just the last 10 minutes of call-in time for this, just maybe a few more, 12 minutes or so total in the program, but thank you for your comment on that. We've got a lot of people that would like to talk here today as well. Claudia in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Claudia, and I just want everybody to know that I called Governor Evers' office today about the gay flag that he's flying with the American flag. Let him know it's an abomination to God and to my country. And I suggest everybody call Governor Evers or email him and tell him we want the flag down because their rights are no more important than a heterosexual. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. That's one of the stories in my pile here, matter of fact. Last night, Governor Evers announced the Rainbow Pride flag. It's not a rainbow. It is the LGBT pride flag. Rainbow has seven colors. The LGBT pride flag has six. But he announced it would be raised over the Wisconsin State Capitol during the month of June in recognition of Pride Month, flying over the east wing of the state capitol beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon, Friday, June 5th, and ending at sunset Tuesday, June 30th. It's his executive order number 29, it appears. And indeed, if you'd like to contact the governor's office, you can do so at area code 608-266-1212. That's the Wisconsin governor. First time, I mean, he did it last June, first time in the history of the state of Wisconsin, 608-266-1212. Let's go next to Richard in Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. Thanks for taking a call. I have one little disagreement with you. In my opinion, using the word reverend in relation to Sharpton is a very serious misuse of the word reverend. And also, in all this discussion, anarchy was never mentioned, which I think is what we're facing in the country.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. And I was quoting from the story, so that was a direct quote from the story itself. And the word anarchy, we just did a full program on that topic here recently. So thank you for commenting on with your thoughts on it, too. I guess we're up against a break. Take more of your calls following the break here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The destruction of the family. It's been a goal of the cultural Marxist for, well, a few generations now. And why? Because they understand that the family is the incubator for passing on the values that maintain a constitutional republic and our liberties and our freedoms. John Adams understood this on an entry dated June 2nd, 1778. He said, quote, "The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. How is it possible that children can have any just sense of the sacred obligations of morality or religion if, from their earliest infancy, they learn their mothers live in habitual infidelity to their fathers, and their fathers as constant infidelity to their mothers," end quote. In other words, they understood that the value of right and wrong, the laws of nature and nature's God, The foundation of a constitutional republic must come from the family.
You know, it's interesting in places like Madison, Wisconsin, where the mayor has said public protests are not subject to government restrictions at all. Well, just don't have more than 50 people attending worship services in your local church. Let's go to Dodgeville, Wisconsin, and Jason Colling, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just calling to say, I believe it was this morning or last night, I had heard someone reading off a tweet or an Instagram post from an Antifa group, and I believe maybe it was Long Island, California, oddly. Sounds like about exactly what AOC had to say. Is she quoting Antifa? And I was also thinking about Al Sharpton, and I think his moment of silence was brilliant, and I wish to continue hearing that for a long time.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Gerald in Ashtabula, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes. Talking about defunding police department in New York City? Well, I believe this is what the Democrats waiting for and Islam Muslims waiting for. Muslims already got 11 impersonated police cars in New York City, and they got 22 on order right now. People, Christian people, if you're voting for a Democrat, you're not a Christian. You're committing a sin. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts, Gerald. Rachel in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I'm a first-time listener, and I am just thrilled with this radio station and the topics today. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I don't really follow too hard Republican stuff, but that flag needs to come down. We have a right to not be forced. First of all, that's disrespectful to the state flag, Wisconsin. Sexual orientation should have nothing to do with the pride of Wisconsin. Even the fact that us being a little bit of a nationalist is a little bit, we shouldn't take pride just because we were born somewhere. The state of Wisconsin is being very disrespected by having that flag up there. I also want to say with these riots, listen to me, I had no idea that these acts of violence were being kind of brought along with an agenda from different sects in the U.S., sectors that might want to use this to break a sense of nationalism and sovereignty from the police force. And I do want to say it's a very delicate situation because there is a police state, and they are out of control. And the police brutality is at a level that if it doesn't get, if we don't get a hold of it, we're going to all end up locked up in FEMA camps.
Thank you, Rachel, for your call here today. I'm out of time for calls here. I just want to close with a few more issues here today on the program. And again, folks, I trust your hearts are burdened for what is taking place here across the nation as well. She was calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and just reported this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Daniel Bice, a group called Freedom Incorporated, not shy about pushing its radical rhetoric, he said. The Madison-based nonprofit has advocated for the release of all African Americans from jail and the defunding of police departments. As for the current protest, the group's leaders say all actions against racist state violence are justified. And what's interesting is that records show they have been awarded state contracts, grants of $3.6 million advocating for minority and LGBTQ communities over the past 5 years, and very much engaged here in my opinion here, fanning the flames of radical rhetoric in this regard. Also, interesting, from LifeNews.com, George Soros' Democracy PAC actively involved in funneling millions into left-wing groups, pushing twisted coronavirus anti-Trump ads on television. Soros is his major left-wing 501c4 group fund for policy reform, has given Democracy PAC at least $35 million so far between January 7th and March the 18th. Here we have from Pamela Geller. I'm sorry, this is WND.com. The Palestinian Authority's top religious authority declared in a recent TV appearance that the Quran effectively gives Muslims the authority to kill any Israeli. Mahmoud al-Habasa, who's been appointed as Supreme Sharia Judge by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, said that there are 10 transgressions against which Palestinians are commanded to fight, and said that the Israeli-based Palestine Media Watch, that the transgressions seem to have been clearly selected in order to turn every single Israeli into a target that every Palestinian Muslim is commanded to fight and allowed to kill. Also interesting developments that are taking place in places across the nation. Here we have undercover video. This is WND.com showing Antifa, showing how to eye gouge, how to take, gouge a person's eyes. It was released by James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, shows an instructor for the far-left militant movement Antifa teaching newcomers how to injure people. The whole goal of this, right, is to get out there and do dangerous things as safely as possible. Think about that. Do dangerous things as safely as possible, says the instructor for Antifa, blamed for much of the violence that's enveloped the protest that have stemmed from the Floyd death. Practice things like an eye gouge. It takes very little pressure to injure someone's eyes. Well, friends, there is much more here that's going on. And certainly we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. This program is not here to frighten. It is here to inform and to be understanding of the times in which we live, that we might be salt and that we might be light. Friends, this world is in need of a Savior. And that begins, the transformation begins in individual lives and individual homes and in our churches. How can we impact a nation when we ourselves are not following consistently in our walk with the Lord? And so that's my encouragement to you today, to be salt and to be light, but to make sure your heart is right before God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How can our prayers be heard if we're hanging on to the sin culture that's supposed to be part of the old man? Something to think about here today. So be in prayer for our nation. Be in prayer for our president, our leadership, the Congress, the Senate, the House and the Senate. State leadership, we've got a critical election coming up before us in November as well. Right now, we're in a pretty big spiritual mess. But God, unto Him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So let's keep our hope, our trust, our confidence in Him. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.